group.
Hey, have you seen the sports or the Rolling Stone with the flying tomato on the cover? Shaun White, Olympic guy.
Oh, no. Shaun White's on the front?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
There's a huge, huge article about Scientology inside.
Oh, he's not a Scientologist, is he?
No, he's not.
Okay.
no connection there. But, wow, is this an interesting article. You know, the South Park episode on Scientology?
Oh, yeah. That was terrific.
That will never be shown again.
Oh, really?
Never again.
All right.
Yep.
Never to be repeated, huh?
The Scientology legal team has seen
shut her down, huh?
That you will never see that again.
That thing was absolutely hysterical.
It sure was. But isn't it amazing how powerful...
Well, that's why they go out and get these big movie stars that have millions and millions of dollars that they can get all that financing, and with all that money comes power, and they're off to the races.
But still, you know, you would expect a religion. A religion is, you know, it's a part of your life. How many religions do you know where you sign confidentiality agreements, and then when you leave, you get, if you stopped going to church, can you imagine your church coming after you for money and making threats?
By the way, he's a homo! That's we always figure. That's why Travolta and everybody's stuck in there. The minute they leave, it's like leaving CVS, and you've got they never took the stuff off the battery, so the alarm goes off, shouting you're gay.
The Celebrity Center there, which is a very important part of Scientology.
Hell yes,
as we know,
the critical part of Scientology.
There are these pictures, and I don't know where they came from, but they're starting to float around. I've seen this various versions of Tom Cruise behind this podium. The Scientology podium, and it's the weirdest picture, but there are various versions of addressing the group.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't it look like the Great Wizard of Oz is speaking or something?
Yeah, he does.
Have you seen that picture, Mike?
He does.
No.
It looks like a Baptist minister.
And they also, they also have,
weird.
I don't know where they got this, but they have a picture of Kirstie Alley at the Scientology rally. And she's got this sign, and she's standing up holding the sign up, psychiatrist hooking kids on drugs.
And she's
She's kind of screaming.
Oh, God.
I know.
Has anybody seen her from Margins lately? How's she doing on that diet?
She's just like a regular fat person again, isn't she? Isn't she just kind of like overweight Kirstie Alley again? As opposed to huge Kirstie Alley.
I haven't seen any pictures of her lately.
You can't really get a good glimpse of her even when you are seeing her, because in the commercials they cut away really fast.
Oh.
You know, like, obviously they're not going to show her ass.
And does she have a project coming or
something? Drapey clothes and stuff, too.
The loss is bloody huge.
So what happened, Kirstie Alley? She jumped on the bandwagon right after the Matt Lauer interview. Is that it?
No, I don't think this is...
This idea that psychiatry is... hooking all these kids on Ritalin and all this stuff
I don't think this is even after that. I think this might be before that.
Okay. Well,
but
that's
all
their
reading
philosophy.
The same literature.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Yeah. So. And that's what the Scientologists believe.
But what's really interesting is that they have kind of a lengthy bio of L. Ron Hubbard in here, which is, you know, all of this information, all of this religion is based on his writing.
Yeah, right, sure. And he's like the God figure.
And it turns out he sounds so shystery.
Oh, hell yes.
Well, we know about the focus on money, and, you know, it costs X amount of dollars to get to each level, and celebrities naturally rise so quickly as they, you know,
they shoot right up the ranks.
Yeah.
Yeah, where Tom Cruise is a six already.
Isn't it funny, though, in various fields like karate or whatever, you become black belts.
Sure.
You know, it really means
degrees
something.
Degrees of black belts and all that.
You have a lot of pride in your various levels of skiing, same way.
Yeah.
But in Scientology, it seems funny to me that these celebrities would run around bragging about what level they're at, considering it really is just about how much money they give.
Yeah. Well, they don't want to look at it like that, though. They want to think of it as they're just gaining all this tremendous insight into the workings of the human mind and into the other side and what's really going on in the planet. And of course, it just seems hard to believe that Tom Cruise and Travolta and all those people would subscribe to that idea of those aliens. You know how all this started?
Yeah.
The aliens populating the planet and all that.
Well, L. Ron Hubbard,
far out.
L. Ron Hubbard was a pulp fiction writer. First of all, let's see.
He seems like it seems like what he really built was a religious Amway.
Yeah, kind basically. Of. They talk about photos of Hubbard in robust middle age, often wearing an ascot, hanging every Scientology center. You can read Hubbard's official biography on the Scientology website, which portrays the man Scientologists call the founder as a great thinker, teacher, scientist, adventurer, ethnographer, photographer, sailor, and war hero. But the reality of his life is far less exhilarating, but in many ways more interesting. The son of a U.S. naval officer, he was by all accounts unremarkable as a youth, from Tilden, Nebraska, who flunked out of George Washington University after his sophomore year, later found moderate success as a penny-a-word writer of pulp fiction.
Wow.
Publishing hundreds of stories in fantasy magazines like Astounding Science Fiction.
Yeah, which is why this whole philosophy with the aliens and everything is such a whole, really a science fiction tale. You know, the beginnings of the Earth.
The
whole thing is science fiction.
He, like so many, apparently greatly exaggerated his military record. He was a lieutenant in the Navy, served briefly in World War II, never saw combat, and was relieved of his command.
Oh, that's nice. And then now, to this day, they wear Navy blue to honor him. That's the uniform of the Scientologists.
Yeah, their ceremonies.
Yeah, and that's their way of paying homage to their Navy founder.
But he spent the last months of the war as an outpatient at a naval hospital in Oakland, where he received treatment for ulcers. Years later, L. Ron Hubbard would claim to have been crippled and blinded in battle.
Oh, man.
And that over a year or so of intense scientific research, he had cured himself using techniques that would later become part of Dianetics. But then they reveal that these military records show he never was in battle. He was never in battle.
So the guy's a big BS artist.
He is.
How embarrassing.
I know.
That these big stars would just totally believe this guy and all of his teachings and give their whole soul over to this racket.
They sound so sucked in.
Oh, they are sucked in. And to just turn over millions upon millions of dollars to this shoddy organization. God.
It seems like
based on a pile of crap.
It seems like they hook some an interesting combination of celebrities too, people like Lisa Marie Presley.
Yeah, it almost seems like it's the weak minded ones. <You know? laughs> The people that'll fall for anything. Well, and they fall in a big way. And then of course these tapes that they listen to.
Yeah.
You know? They teach them about things and then they move upward and forward in the teachings as they listen to these tapes.
Well, they seem like the kind of celebrities who would almost be your self-help type people, like Tom Cruise, for example.
Oh,
who
was
dyslexic, and it was a terrible problem for him. There seems to be some kind of raging debate as to whether or not he even finished high school. At best, he finished high school. At best. But he himself says he had a terrible time reading in his high school years and completing assignments because he was dyslexic. And so once he got past that, naturally, you know, he's been a tremendous success in Hollywood and all that.
He got past that, he could read, and unfortunately the first thing he read was
That's Dianetics. What it sounds like, is that he just picked up
he picked
anything,
up Dianetics.
Anything L. Ron Hubbard wrote, you know, he would absorb.
Yeah. I got to believe if L. Ron Hubbard said, you, get naked right now with me, he'd do it. Doesn't seem like Hubbard would have everybody just gathered around nude for some twisted celebration.
Well, you know, for a leader of a religion, there's some rather interesting revelations in that regard, too.
I would think so. Usually these sort of cult-type activities, which this thing reeks of to me in a way, always seem to include nudity somewhere, someplace.
Well, after the war, Hubbard made his way to Pasadena, which was a scientific boomtown in the 40s, where he met John Whiteside Parsons, a society figure and a founder of Caltech's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. As a sci-fi buff, Parsons was also a follower of the English occultist Aleister Crowley, Jimmy Page's mentor. Uh-huh. Parsons befriended Hubbard and invited him to move on to his estate. That's a little weird.
Oh, boy, you're not kidding. That reeks of a sword fight.
Ron, you're about 40 or so. You want to move in?
Yeah. That sounds like a big old sword fight in the middle of the night.
Yeah, sure. I'll move in.
Yeah.
I'm about 40. You're about 40.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just share this little bedroom here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Why don't you draw that fleshy saber of yours. On guard.
In one of the stranger chapters in Hubbard's life, recorded in detail by several biographers, the soon-to-be founder of Dianetics became Parsons' assistant, helping him with a variety of black magic and sex rituals, black magic and sex rituals, including one in which Parsons attempted to conjure a literal whore of Babylon with Hubbard serving as apprentice. Boy.
Uh-oh.
And then Hubbard woos away Parsons' mistress, Sarah Northrup, whom he would later marry. And then he and Parsons have a business venture together, and they have a falling out. Strange, though. You know, there is some kind of seamy sex portion to the story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Hubbard, when he died, this is kind of weird. It sounds sort of Howard Hughes-like. His death.
Right.
They, let's see if I can find it here. I'm a little lost in my story here. Boy, I think it's 18 pages of Rolling Stone.
He never died, though, remember?
That's right.
He left his body. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did he leave his shell? Oh, upon Hubbard's death, his ambitious 25-year-old aide, David Miscavige, he's the guy that woos all the celebrities. He's Tom Cruise's best friend.
Okay.
And Cruise are best buds.
Boy, that guy must be a master BSer.
Well,
wow.
He takes care of the moneyed members.
Yeah.
Who would soon succeed him as leader announced that Scientology's founder had willingly dropped his healthy body and moved on to another dimension.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. In keeping with Hubbard's wishes, his body was cremated within 24 hours. There was no autopsy. But the coroner's report described the father of Scientology as in a state of decrepitude, unshaven with long, thinning, whitish-red hair and unkempt fingernails and toenails.
Ew, gross.
This is
how repulsive.
Here's the most interesting part of all. In Hubbard's system was the anti-anxiety drug.
Uh-oh.
Hydroxyzine.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
wait
a
second.
No wonder there was no autopsy.
What in the hell are you talking about?
I thought that Scientologists didn't believe in taking anything.
No, they don't. It's just all herbal remedies coupled with exercise.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. Well, there you go. That's why there was no autopsy. That's why they hurried up.
I would never agree with psychiatry, ever. Before I was a Scientologist, I never agreed with psychiatry. And then when I started studying the history of psychiatry, I started realizing...
No, you studied Scientology. You didn't.
That's all he did.
What? He acts like he's a medical doctor or something.
I know. He acts like he pursued...
Yes, I've studied all these drugs.
I know. He acts like he's pursued every avenue of psychiatry and everything that there possibly was on the planet and then made a decision based on all of the information he gathered. Instead, as you say, he went to one source and believed all of it immediately.
You're glib.
I wish Matt Lauer had been less glib. He said, "Tom, tell me about some of these postpartum drugs that they take. What do you know about them? What are they made of?
Yeah.
What do they do? What are their reactions in the body, Tom?
Yeah, like
you know so much.
Flu.
More and more, why I didn't agree with psychiatry. And as far as the Brooke Shields thing is, look, you got to understand, I really care about Brooke Shields.
Yeah,
I think here's a wonderful and talented woman." And
that's really fake.
I want to see her do well.
Yeah,
and I know that psychiatry is a pseudoscience.
But Tom, if she says that this particular thing helped,
where Scientology is the real deal,
or going to a counselor or a psychiatrist, isn't that enough?
Matt, you have to understand this. Here we are today, where I talk out against drugs and psychiatric abuses of electric shocking people. Mm-hmm. Okay, against their will.
Oh, yeah, everybody's getting electroshocked, Tom,
it's very common. It's the first thing they do.
Do you know what Adderall is? Do you know Ritalin? Do you know now that Ritalin is a street drug? Do you understand that? The difference is this was not against her will, though.
Madam, I'm asking you a question.
I understand there's abuse of all of these things.
Now, you see,
this conversation is so interesting, isn't it?
Oh, it's enough to drive you nuts. It's really frustrating to listen to, really.
Well, because Lauer is such a pussy.
Exactly.
He's such a jackass.
He should be just stopping him at every turn. I mean, every question he poses, every point he tries to make is so thoroughly ludicrous. You just feel like you have to stop him and correct him immediately, and he doesn't, and it drives you nuts because you have to keep listening to it.
Well, Cruz made this huge mistake in blowing out his PR person, Pat Kingsley. She was his publicist.
Oh, yeah.
And when he hired his sister, you know, naturally, he was calling the shots. He wasn't he wasn't listening to anybody.
Hell no.
And I guess this Pat Kingsley had saved him from years of embarrassment.
Yeah.
And many, many, many bad ideas and things that he wanted to do or propose. And she was like, no, Tom, look, you're a movie star.
Yeah.
Just why don't we just keep the personality kind of on the sidelines here and just stick to reading scripts and doing movies. And once she was out of the way,
all hell broke loose.
This trade—I forgot what trade magazine it was—but there was a Hollywood Trade article about Tom Cruise. And it was about the fact that when he fired Pat Kingsley, some of the worst kept secrets in Hollywood started coming out. I.e., what a bizarro guy Tom Cruise is, which the public really didn't know.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden,
to the gatekeeper,
he got exposed on.
Here's the problem:
shows
you
like
don't
this.
Know the history of psychiatry.
Big mouth.
I do.
I do. I've read Dianetics. I know everything there is to know. Hubbard told me.
All it does is mask the problem. And if you understand the history of it, it masks the problem. That's what it does. That's all it does. You're not getting to the reason why. There is no such thing as a chemical imbalance.
Really?
Depression to you is
that right?
A little psychological gobbledygook?
No
such thing as a hormone imbalance?
Why doesn't he ask him to explain these things?
Well, he's never talked to a woman at her time, has he?
I'm just asking, what would you call it?
Matt, that is the post. Now you're talking about two different things.
But that's what she went on the antidepressant for.
But what happens, the antidepressant, all it does is mask the problem. There's ways of vitamins and through exercise and various things. I'm not saying that
Yeah, sure.
That's not what I'm saying. That's
do some sit-ups. You'll be fine.
What I'm saying. I'm saying that drugs aren't the answer, that these drugs are very dangerous. They're mind-altering, antipsychotic drugs. And there are ways of doing it without that so that we don't end up in a brave new world. The thing that I'm saying about Brooke is that there's misinformation.
Oh, God, over the top.
Okay. And she doesn't understand this.
He strikes me as the kind of guy that would get his leg lopped off in battle and say, no, no painkillers for me.
Yeah, right,
no.
right.
No,
so you have somebody who's suicidal, and, they're in the mood to do sit-ups to correct their thoughts. Yeah,
history
right.
Psychiatry. She doesn't understand in the same way that you don't understand it, man.
What an arrogant ass.
To do well.
He's disgusting.
By taking the road that you approve of, as opposed to a road that may work for them.
Finally, Lauer says something.
Well, if antidepressants work for Brooke Shields, why isn't that okay?
I disagree with it.
Because I disagree with it.
The Lord of us all disagrees with it. I'm Tom Cruise, God of the planet.
I don't care if it works.
Because
I disagree with it.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
And that's the end of it. And he takes that attitude with him everywhere he goes, including his relationships, which explains all the Katie stuff.
Yeah, this Katie Holmes stuff is really interesting.
I'm sure at every turn it's that. Because, I'm sure she's doing the same thing. Well, Tom, why can't I? Because I said so. Because I don't think it's right. Do you need to know any more, Kate?
It's funny that...
Okay, Tom, you're right.
In his personal life, he seems to mirror Scientology.
It's
just
all
like
he knows.
This whole thing about her having this kid and them pretending to be a couple until this kid is born.
Oh,
at which time, they will then part ways, and he'll buy her a house a block away.
Oh, jeez.
Why would you care if you broke up? I mean, either you did or you didn't. I don't know.
And look at how
people are insisting that they've split up, though.
Well,
and this latest story.
They're usually right. I mean, this stuff persists. There's usually it's that business of when there's smoke, there's fire, and it seems to come true usually eventually. No matter how solid these relationships seem, once you start hearing this stuff, I don't know. Most of the time, 9 out of 10, by God, There's trouble.
There's definitely trouble. On her end, there's definitely trouble. Everything that's coming out of her friends and family is something is royally wrong in her life.
And look what's going to happen now after hooking up with this nut. She's going to end up carrying around this kid, having this child.
Oh, God.
Without the father, the whole bit. You know,
no, worse yet.
Scientology.
Tom Cruise is his father.
Yeah.
Well, at this, you know, we heard this story about him going to the Kanye West concert, which I thought was so strange. What is Tom Cruise doing at a Kanye West concert? I guess trying to pretend.
Trying to be hip?
Yeah,
he's trying to hip himself
up. He's cool.
Yeah, he's trying to make himself more cool. Yeah. And again, like somebody who's depressed, is in the mood to exercise, that whole philosophy is garbage. When you're that depressed, when you're so down that you just want to kill yourself, the last thing in the world you feel like doing is getting up and doing jumping jacks. I mean, you just want to lay in bed. You don't have the strength to lift your arm.
Well, when he was at this concert, music was pumping as the fearless star dangled off a 9-foot-high 9-foot-high balcony. Some gasped in disbelief as they watched him climb to safety. So he thinks he's doing a stunt or something at this Kanye West concert.
Oh, I can't believe that. We learned that doing Mission Impossible or what?
While Kanye was rapping, Tom climbed up cables to get away from the crowds.
Oh, what an ass. Oh, said, Tom Spider-Man Cruise, huh?
All these people are making me crazy. It's too much. Once he made it up to the VIP balcony, Tom went nuts when he heard his favorite songs from the Grammy winner, who wrote the theme song and recorded the theme song for Mission Impossible 3. As Kanye sang a line from Gold Digger about the need for prenups, Tom threw his hands in the air. During Jesus Walks, he shouted out a profanity.
Oh, wow.
He was acting insane, says eyewitnesses, along with spewing some uncharacteristic expletives and consuming alcohol. Tom started talking to a few women about Scientology.
Oh, my God.
He asked us what religion we were, says a partygoer. He told us Scientology changed his life and his fiancée's life, and it could change ours, too.
Wow.
For me, personally, see, you're saying, I can't discuss what I want to discuss?
No, you absolutely can.
But, Matt, you're going in and saying that...
So listen to the emphasis on
I'm only asking, isn't there a possibility that...
It's funny, Matt Lauer's hardly even saying anything, and he keeps, like, implying that... It's like he's having an argument with himself.
Well, yeah, he's actually trying to insinuate that he can't get a word in edgewise because Matt isn't listening. And Matt, all he can do is listen. He can't get a word in edgewise. Everything is about I.
You examine the possibility that these things do work for some people. That, yes, there are abuses. And yes, maybe they've gone too far in certain areas. Maybe there are too many kids on Ritalin. Maybe electric shock is...
kids on Ritalin?
I'm just saying. But aren't there examples where it works?
You're glib. You don't even know what Ritalin is. If you start talking about chemical imbalance, you have to evaluate and read the research papers on how they came up with these theories, Matt. Okay? That's what I've done.
Boy, he sounds
you know,
even crazier after you've listened
where's
to
the
it
medical
for a while,
test?
You know?
Where's the blood test that says how much Ritalin you're supposed to get?
It's very impressive to listen to you because clearly you've done the homework and you know the science.
See,
and
why
you should,
stop that?
And you should do that also because just knowing people...
Why did
Lauer
sit here
do that?
Listen to this? I have no idea.
That's when I can't take it anymore. That was the worst right there.
It's
clear you've done your homework.
Isn't enough. You should be a little bit more responsible in knowing...
I'm
really
not prescribing Ritalin,
he's
Tom.
Kissing his ass and he's still telling him he's an a-hole.
I can't believe
it. I'm not prescribing the stuff, Tom.
I'm not asking anyone else to do
it.
I know some people who seem to have been helped.
This is a very important issue.
I couldn't agree more.
You know what? And you're here on the Today Show.
Right.
And to talk about it in a way of saying, well, isn't it okay and being reasonable about it when you don't know, and I do. I think that you should be a little bit more responsible in knowing what it is. Because you communicate to people.
And you're telling
me
what's worked for people I know or hasn't worked for people I know. And I'm telling you, I've lived with these people. And they're better.
So you're advocating it.
I am not. In their individual case, it worked. I am not going to go out and say, get your kids on Ritalin, it's the cure-all and the end-all.
Matt, but here's the point. What is an ideal scene in life? Okay? Ideal scene is someone not having to take antipsychotic drugs.
I would agree.
Okay, so now you look at it and you go, okay, a departure from that ideal scene is someone taking drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then you go, okay, what is the theory and the science behind that justifies that?
Let me take this more general, because I think you and I could go around in circles on this for a while, and I respect your opinion on it.
In the hell are you talking?
Understand Scientology? Is that, would that be a goal of yours?
You know what? Absolutely. Of course. You know, how do you go about that? You just communicate about it. And the important thing is, like, you and I talk about it, whether it's, look, if I want to know something, I go and find out. Because I don't talk about
it. If I want to know something, I go and find out. By reading one book.
I'll go find more information about it, so I can come to an opinion based on the information that I have.
You're so passionate about it.
Which is all I'm
learning. I'm passionate about life.
I don't know who I hate more, Tom Cruise or Matt Lauer. We got a break.
Boy, oh boy. Man, is that annoying.
It's 9:42.
Drew and Mike.